Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, through chapter 6, verse number 3. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word as we read tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now really that verse is in context. It's dealing with the fact of being filled with the Spirit. In verse number 18, if we're filled with the Spirit, we'll speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, verse 19. We'll give thanks, verse 20, and submit ourselves one to another in verse number 21, in the fear of the Lord. Then he begins to get specific about that submitting in verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. They might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's pray. Father, I pray for today that you'd help us, give us strength, wisdom and leadership. Forgive me for where I've sinned against you. Help us not to get sidetracked, but help us to zero in on you as we lift you up, that we might see you and stand on the promise you'll draw and complete that work. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you for what you're doing, but more for what you're going to do now. Help us to be sensitive to you tonight. I plead the blood upon this place, asking that your will might be done. Only your will. Put words in order through our mind of thinking process, only that you want to be brought through these lips of clay tonight. And Lord, may the home be helped. May the husband be helped. May the wife be helped. May the children be helped tonight. Not because of me, but because of you. And just we'll thank you. Save that one that's closest to hell. Speak, lead, guide, and direct. Now I want to say I love you. Help me to love you more day by day. We'll thank you, praise you, and give you glory for all that he has done. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Dealing with the home, we've looked at it now a couple of nights. We started out talking about the home being the target of the devil as far as introduction was concerned, and it is a target of the devil because it's one of the institutions that God ordained and instituted. In fact, it's the first one. And the devil knows if he can get into the home, he can get into the church. And there's the inroad into the church, an inroad into our country, if you please, today. But we looked at the organization of the home the first week, and we said basically it's established by the Maker, it's entered by matrimony, and it ends in the mortuary. We also last week began to deal with the order of the home. And as we began, we said the order is outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. Where Paul said, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's God's Bible order, is the head, God, Christ, the man, the woman, and then the children under that. And so therefore, that's God's Bible order. Now we started last week dealing with the Bible order for the husbands. And we talked about in Ephesians 5:25 where he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. First thing about the husband, we said, was to, as far as his being in Bible orders, to be a lover of our wives. And we said, how do you do that? As Christ loved the church. He says also over in verse number 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. We ought to love our wives as our own self, our own body. But we ought to love our wives with a greater and a different love than we have for parents and than we have for children. In other words, we ought to be able to leave mom and dad behind. Many homes are broken because parents, they had a greater love for mom and daddy. It might have been their biscuits that they cooked or something like that, you know, but still, they had a greater love for mom and daddy than they did their wife, and that created a problem. And then when the children come along, they had a greater love for the children than they did their wife, and that created a problem. And many homes were broken as a result of that. So the love that husbands ought to have for their wives ought to be greater than that for their parents or their children. And then we said not only love be a lover of their wives, but we need to be a leader in the way that God that we walk with Him. In other words, God will hold husbands accountable for and responsible, if you please, for our household. We'll be accountable unto God and responsible for the way our wife dresses and acts to a degree, and also the way our children dress and act. And so, therefore, we're to be a leader in the way. We also said that their husbands are to be liable for wages. 1 Timothy 5:8, he said, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now, I said, made this statement, and I still make it again. It says, any man who loves God and is a man after God's own heart, and not lazy, and can pray and is able, he can provide for his family, and God expects him to do so. Now, we also said the fourth thing is a man's Bible order, not only lover of our wives and leader in the way and liable for wages, but we said need to be learned in womanhood. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, he says this. He said, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," talking about the wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." So, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, say, what all does that mean? Well, I tell you the truth, I don't really know all it means. But it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, husbands need to get to the place to learn what his wife is, or who his wife is, I guess we should say, and how she functions, and how she thinks, and how she operates. And it's going to take some time to do that. You don't do that in 5 years or 10 years or down the road, because you don't even understand yourself, how you understand your wife. Amen? I mean, we don't even understand our own motives a lot of time, but it takes time to understand. It takes time to listen. It takes time just to be there for our wives. So therefore, we need to be learned in womanhood. Now then, point number two under Bible order. Order of the home. Point number two is the Bible order for women. The Bible order for the wives, I guess I should say. Number one is be submitted to her husband, her own husband, it said. In verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter number 5, look what he said. He said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Now, there's no period there, but it says, "as unto the Lord." So, first of all, I can use this as an outline. In other words, wives need to be submitted to your husband. And first of all, you'd say, how? How can I be submitted to my husband? Let me say this, as you ought to be submitted unto the Lord. He says you be submitted unto your husband. Now, the word submit means to come under. It means to obey. Oh, me. But in context, it's talking about the man being filled with the Spirit. Now, remember that, all right? But as unto the Lord. As though you submit as though He is your Lord. I'll stop for a minute and let that soak in. I'm not talking about somebody being domineering or somebody running a dictatorship in that sense. But he said, you submit as you ought to be submitted unto the Lord, but as though He is your Lord. Because if you're not submitted to the lordship of your husband, you're not submitted to the lordship of Christ. Sarah was our example, and she submitted to Abraham and called him Lord. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 6, about Sarah, he said, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." So you see, she's our example, and the wife's example. Now, it doesn't mean she has to, she doesn't have a mouth to speak up with an idea or expression or something to interject. It just means that she recognizes that she's not the boss. In other words, she's not the boss, but you realize something, that he's not the boss. She's got to recognize really that he's not the boss. Who is the boss? The Lord is the boss. Amen? He is the boss. And also, she is her boss as well as the husband's boss, and therefore, she is to be submitted unto him as he is submitted unto the Lord. That's the connection there. Now, Ephesians 5, 23 and 24 there, he goes on to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's what God's Word said. I didn't say that. Now, the question is, should the church be submitted to do what Christ said to do? Should the church be submitted to do what Christ said to do? Well, the answer to that is yes. In what? Everything. So he said, even as, let it so be with the wife. Even as the church submits unto Christ, let the wife be submitted unto her husband in everything. So likewise, the wife should be in submission to her husband, in subjection. Now, that's going to require a reverence. Verse 33. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence her husband. Now, she shouldn't put down her husband. Wives, you shouldn't put down your husband. I don't care how sorry, lazy, rotten, no good he is. Amen? You men agree with that. Amen? Amen? I mean, she shouldn't put her husband down, and vice versa. Amen? You say, what does vice versa mean? That means husbands, you ought not put down your wife because you married her. Amen? She married you. In other words, don't put her down. Ladies, if you knew the damage that's done to your husband when you put him down, you would never do it again if you knew the damage. He may not say a word, but inside there's a lack of self-respect, and something turns on inside when you put him down. And as a result, doesn't matter if it's truth or not, you'll never get anywhere by putting him down. Now, how are women to submit to their wives? As to be submitted unto the Lord, as wives to their husband. Did I get that wrong? Well, I got that double tongue, all right? Instant retake. Okay, instant replay. How are wives to be submitted to their husband? First of all, by being submitted unto the Lord as though he is your Lord. Now, why? Number two, why should the wife be submitted? Well, let me add here, not only should the wife be submitted, but we should be submitted to our head as well. All of those who have a head should be submitted. Children should be submitted to their headship. Wives should be submitted to her headship. Husbands should be submitted to his headship, the Lord. Now, when I'm thinking about that, when I'm talking about the why, it applies to all of us in the capacity we're in. In other words, principles apply to all. So therefore, I've got about six things or seven. I don't know exactly how many. But first of all, why should wives submit to their husband, and apply it now to each of us, all right? First of all, submitting to your head is for the sake of the one submitting. When you submit to Christ, it's for your sake, in a sense. Somebody asked me the question the other day, said, how come you pray? You pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Have you ever stopped to ask why you do some things you do? And I still do it, but it is. And we do everything in a sense for the Lord's sake. But in one sense, but yet in a minute, in another way, whose sake are we really doing it for? Think about it a minute. Should we pray, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and for our sake? Think about that a minute. Amen? Our terminology, we hear somebody use it, and we use it, and it's truth. Nothing wrong with that. But in other words, it is for Jesus' sake. But it's also for our sake. Thought about that just a moment ago. I know, something to think about. I'm just giving you something to think about. But when we as subjects submit to our head, whether it be the men unto Christ or the wife unto the husbands, it is for the benefit and protection of the one doing the submitting. It's for their protection wise. It's for your protection to submit. It's for your benefit. James chapter 4, verse number 8, he said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he says, you draw nigh to God in submission, he'll draw nigh to you. It's for your benefit, your protection. Wives, you draw nigh to your husbands, submit to him. It's for your benefit and protection. Now, not to submit is in disobedience with God's Word, right? Didn't God say that wives submit yourself to the husband, right? So if a person doesn't obey that, doesn't do what God said, then we call that rebellion. Amen? Am I not right? I'm just taking the Word. Don't shoot me tonight. I'm trying to help us all. See this? You see, now I'm going to get on the husbands and their responsibility. Before it's over, the head has to meet their responsibility. And if the head will meet the responsibility, then you'll find a wife that's willing to submit
Can't give it all to you in one night, but I'm laying the groundwork for the order of the home. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. So the Bible order for the wife is to submit. Why? Because submitting is for her sake. To her head is for her sake, you know, if you please. For the one doing the submitting, but not to submit is rebellion. And rebellion against the head is a rebellion against authority. And you know what God said about rebellion in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, when King Saul did not do what God said, he sent a man of God to him and said, it's better to obey than sacrifice. Because he said, I'm going to sacrifice all these, so I didn't do what God said. And then he went on and said, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, he said this, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. He said rebellion is equal to witchcraft. So if you refuse to do what God said, you're in rebellion against God. Not only against your husband, but against God. And in rebellion is equal to witchcraft. Did you know he said it's equal to it? Now, have you ever stopped and thought about witchcraft? You said somebody reads palm. Well, it may be involved. But you know it goes even further than that. It's satanic. They take and they carry and literally not only sacrifice animals to Satan, but they sacrifice human beings to Satan. And you say, how awful. He said, if you're in rebellion, in violation of what God's Word said, you're in rebellion against authority, and it's equal to witchcraft. Amen. Think about that a minute. It's rough. I know it's rough. I'm trying to tell you what God's Word said. I'm trying to help you. And I understand. And remember, it says, husbands, in the Lord. That doesn't mean that you're to do something that just because your husband says so that violation of God's Word or immoral. No, sir. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those should be, those filled with the Spirit, with meeting their responsibilities, their head. And as a result, you'd be glad to be in submission to that. And I know we're in a mess. I understand that. Brother Bud even made a statement today in his mind going in and out, and he said, we're in a mess. He's talking about himself being in a mess. I know, but we are in a mess. We are in a mess across this country today, and so therefore we need to submit, because submitting is the head to the head is for the sake of the one submitting. Number two, why do we submit? Why does the wife submit? Why do we submit? Why should we? Submitting encourages oneness in relationship and intimacy. In other words, verse 28 through 31 of our text verse, he said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So we see submitting encourages oneness in intimacy and relationship. Now, speaking in context of those verses of Christ and us, we ought to be so wrapped up in Him that we come to the point that we think like He does. In other words, we think alike, if you please. And the same ought to be true with the wife and the husband if she is submitting, or in this, that's what we're dealing with. They've come to a point to where you think alike. You think like your husband thinks in that sense. In other words, Genesis 2:23, Adam said there in Genesis 2:23, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So there was an encouragement to oneness and intimacy in submission. And that's true. With us, with Christ, and with wives to their husband. Number three, on the why, submit. Submitting is to be complete. Why? And what did it say? In everything, verse 24 said. Submit to your own husbands in everything. That's referring in context in the Lord, verse number 22. Now you realize if we're where we should be as husbands, we're saved, that means we're crucified with Christ. But Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, that the life and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, if men were like Paul was talking about, being crucified with Christ, living in the fullness of the Spirit, could self would not be in control, and all desires would be wrapped up in Christ's desires. He'd never put anything more on you than what God would want on you, and therefore you could submit to Him as unto the Lord. And it would be complete in everything. But it doesn't mean something about being immoral. It's not talking about that. You see, man that's saved and crucified with Christ, he's dead to self. He should be wrapped up in the goals, the ambitions, and the desires that Christ has for us, and should be a living sacrifice of Romans 12:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, or therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you see there, wives ought to be wrapped up in the goals and the ambitions and the desires that Christ has given the husband. And she can be, and submit in those areas if you'll submit in the area that you should submit and get where you need to be. And in other words, she'll be submitting unto the Lord as unto you, as unto the Lord, if you please. Number four on the why, submit. Submitting places the burden of reconciliation on the head. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 14 through 18, it talks about our Lord. He says this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them or aid them that are tempted." But you notice there, he said he did what he did to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know what reconciliation means? Reconciliation means to make compatible. It means living together harmoniously. It means to be in agreement. It's peace. To make friendly again. We were broken in Adam, the first Adam. But in Christ, the last Adam, we're made one again. Harmoniously we can be together. And he took it upon himself as the head. He took that burden to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for my sins and your sins. Now, when it's complied to wives submitting to themselves, to their husbands, that, and we said, the why is it? Because submitting places the burden of reconciliation on the head. Now, in other words, wives, when you submit to your husband, that puts the responsibility on him to meet the need to have that. You say, what is that need? Well, the need is for the home to stay in agreement, to living together harmoniously. As head, in other words, we as husbands, as head, it's our responsibility to make the first move to get things reconciled. And yet you're sitting there sometimes and you lip pooched out and said, she did it, I'm not going to say a word till she does. Lord help. Amen. Why, confess and apologize whether you did anything or not. Get it right. Man, who wants to go to bed that kind of atmosphere in the house? You know, I mean, of course, you know, some of us never have any problems, you know. But what I'm saying is, it's our move to reach out. You say, but she was wrong. But he still said it. Now, I know the problem is it's not the submission there ought to be. I understand. But if she's submitting halfway trying, it places the burden upon you as her head to make reconciliation for that, to get things reconciled. You make the first move sometimes. That's all it takes is the first move and the hatchet's buried. And it's a whole lot better that way. Amen. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, number five. Guess I better go on. All right. Number five on the why, submit. Submitting does not suggest involuntary slavery. Somebody said, well, if I submit to my husband, I'll just be his slave. That's not what it's talking about. We are bond slaves to the Lord, but it's not involuntary. It's voluntary. We volunteered, if you please. I know God brought us to that place, but we volunteered. And submitting should arise out of love and not out of law. I'm talking about in under this thing of submitting involuntarily. Because of love, we ought to do some things. Now, I know love's not the reason to get married, all right? We said that the other day. But their love needs to be involved. Law, if we say, I'm going to do this and so because of law, it doesn't really do anything. But if you do it because of love, it'll do something for you. And so wives, when you leave to cleave, you said in your actions and by your actions that I'm willing to become his bond slave. Voluntary surrender to submit. Think about it a minute. Not a servant as far as being a doormat. No, if the husband's where he's supposed to be, he wouldn't request that of you. You understand what I'm saying? So it says, in the Lord, in the confines of this book, you submit. Now, number six, I guess it is, submitting is the supreme act of faith. Because when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord, it takes faith. And God's got to grant that, I understand that. But it requires total reliance upon the goodness, the sovereignty, and the care of our head, who's the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you, to be saved, you've got to have total reliance upon Him. It takes faith to submit to Him as your Lord. And it takes faith for a wife to obey God's plan and submit totally to a husband whose habits and past behavior have not been good. And in other words, and then leave the consequences to God. You say that again. I don't know whether I can or not. But it takes faith for you to submit to a husband who's looked in the past, whose actions and things of all and decisions wasn't always right. And now you say, I can't submit to him because he made this mistake. But it says submit to him and leave the consequences to God. It's going to take faith to do that. Amen? It's going to take faith to do that. And only God can give you that. I understand. You say, how far does this submission thing go? Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter, he said likewise, verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed, 1 Peter 3:6, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. She even called him Lord. Now, it's a little L. It's not the capital L, but she submitted unto him as unto the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. So he said, submit to your husbands. That's the first point under the Bible order. Amen. The how and the why, which involves men as well in submitting to their head. Well, he said, I didn't like that. Well, I'm trying to help us. I'm not. You stay with us all the way through in this thing and weave together, all right? Because I'm not trying to tell you to be a doormat. God knows that. And I believe any man who's meeting his obligation, we're going to get to the obligation of the home, which is the responsibility of the husband. Amen. But every man who's meeting his responsibility or obligation in that home, he'll have a wife who's willing to submit and come under him and yield to his decisions, if you please, that God's led him in. Even though there may be mistakes at times, she'll leave the consequences to God and she'll willingly be ready to submit to that kind of an individual. See, our problem is we're just out of Bible order all the way around and yet want to call our homes Christian. Amen. Well, men... You know, well, I better not get back on them, amen. They come to hear. Yeah, no, but someone didn't get that all the way in tonight about the women. Sit there, leave us alone. Well, it's got to be a balance. We've got to meet our responsibility, and then the wives will submit. Number two, not only number one, as far as the Bible order for wives, submit to your husband. Number two, be of service to your husband. Be of service to your husband. Young people, listen to this. Be of service. Mamas, teach your daughters to be of service to the husband. You teach them by example, by the way. Amen? Well, you see, I'm not talking about a servant. I'm talking about service. I heard about a cowboy out west one time who made this statement. He said, if you treat your wife like a quality broodmare, she won't turn out to be a nag. Amen? Think about that a minute. Hey, those guys got those quality broodmares. They treat them nicely. Amen? It takes a while for that to sink in, don't it? Amen? I mean, they take care of them, don't they, Brother King? I mean, I've never dealt with them that much, but boy, they'll take better care of them than do their own family sometimes. But he said, if you take care of your wife that way, she won't turn out to be a man. Well, somebody else made this statement, if you want your wife to be an angel, quit treating her like a devil. And you said, I thought you were going to preach on the women's part, okay? Well, that's just saying the fact is that she's to be of service to the household. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 14 gives a biblical career for a woman, young woman. Now, folks, we're living in a time when this world is pushing you to have a career. You get out in this world, the school system, we'll talk about even Christian schools, quote unquote, they talk about a career. I tell you what, the career you need is a biblical career. That's what we needed. If we stay with it, our homes would be in better shape. Our country would be in better shape. Amen? You say, well, what is the biblical career? 1 Timothy 5:14. Now, he's talking in context about young widows, those who were left widowed at a young age, but it also has an application to you young ladies, all right? An application to the young women. It applies. 1 Timothy 5:14, he says this. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Number one. He said, I'd rather marry. Number two, bear children. Number three, guide the house. Number four, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. There's the four-point outline on a biblical career. Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, you realize something, that verse is in right Bible order. But this generation today says it's not right. They may not say it that way, but they do by their actions, and a lot of people go along with it because it says today, bear children and then get married. No, it's marry and bear children. Amen. Is what it says. Now, marry, first of all, and that means God involved in bringing them together. And then secondly is to bear the children. And you notice it said children, not a child. Now, I understand that some people can't, and God knows all about that. He's the one who gives the fruit of the womb, but He says children, not child. I'm just wondering if Romans chapter 12, verse 1 doesn't involve the womb. What do you mean? Well, Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reckon that includes the womb as well? Well, I tell you, He said, marry, bear children. In other words, He's not saying you got to have 15 young'uns, you understand, but He does say this in the book of Psalms, chapter number 127, verse number 3 through 5. Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now you say, I got my quiver full. Well, you can call it whatever you want, but God said bear children, more than one, and I'm not talking about if He gives you conception. And in other words, let me ask you this. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder how many preacher boys will not be accounted for because of our selfishness and our disobedience to God's Word. Wesley, Charles Wesley, I believe it is. I know he was a Methodist, but folks, I'm going to tell you, the old-time Methodists had more than most Baptists have got today. Amen? But Charles Wesley came to America to convert the heathen, he said, but he said he wondered who was going to convert him, so he preached years before he got saved. But he was a preacher that had a great influence in what we term as the Reformation time of America. And I think... Does anybody know what child he was? That his mother's name was Susanna or Susie, that's who it was, number one. Susanna Wesley, I believe, something like that. If I'm not mistaken, he was 13, 14, or 15 child. What if she said we're just going to have two? It would have caused the entire nation not to be reformed. I mean, you say God's God. I understand that. God knows what He's... But I wonder how many preacher boys that God would have had them have... I'm talking about... But yet we took things in our hands and stopped up the baby factory and said, my quiver's full. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Young kids, don't you do it. It's that harmful to your body. It'll hurt you down the road. I can tell you, don't you let God... Use wisdom. Use understanding in that. I understand that. I'm not trying, but what I'm saying is, I don't mean have one every 9 months and 2 days, amen, but I'm saying the thing about it is, you need to let God, He's the one who gives the fruit of the womb, and it's His reward, and He says, happy is the man whose quiver is full. You say, my quiver is full. I'm just telling you what God said, all right? I'm going to stay with you no matter what you do, amen, by God's grace, but I still got a responsibility to preach to you what God said. He says that you're to, in other words, be a service to the household. You're to marry, you're to bear children, not child, but children. Now, it also says, and guide the house. Now, your house is a testimony of you. You see how you keep your house speaks of you. How you take care of your husband speaks of you in that sense of providing for him there, the meals and whatnot. You see, men don't have enough sense to guide a house, what he's talking about here. Or you say they can. Listen, God put it in mama to guide the house. You men, you could care less which side of the room the couch is on. Am I right? I mean, but she comes in and she says, you think the couch would look better here or you think it'd look better over here? Yeah. Am I right? You understand what I'm telling you? And they're always rearranging the house because they're guiding the house. They want to guide that house. Greg, is that right? Your wife's laughing, so that must be it. Oh, he does. He does. Well, you don't have enough sense to guide the house. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. But I understand that you may care because you've got your perspective, but guiding the house. But most of the time, we could care less. And she comes in and said, let's put the couch over here. You get your in, I'll get mine. Usually my wife just does it herself, amen? But she's guiding the house in that sense. And she comes in and she says, what do you want for supper? Well, anybody can answer that, supper. Supper. My wife gets that. She said, do you want bologna or turkey? And honestly, I can't make up my mind. Most of the time. I just said, it'd be like one guy, first time I ever heard anything said like that. We was out in Oklahoma, and this bachelor was living with his brother and his wife, and so she come out and asked about the pie after the meal, and Deck was his name, and I never had heard it put that way, but she asked him, said, do you want apple pie or cherry pie? He said, apple or cherry. She didn't pay no attention to him, just went on off, and come back, and guess what she gave him? A piece of apple pie and a piece of cherry pie. That's what he wanted. But the thing about it is, when she says you want bologna or you want turkey, now, most of the time, I really don't care. I want her to make up the decision for me. Honey, she knows that's true. What do you want for supper? Supper. You're the guy of the house. That's your responsibility. Amen. I know you'll take care of it. And when looked at all of us, we've been taking pretty good care of. The rib is out of place. Amen. Well, I'm talking about guiding the house. In other words, God put it in the mama to guide the house. And then it said there, fourth thing, don't give an occasion for reproach to the adversary to bring reproach. In other words, there's been many preachers and deacons and laymen, if you please, who will not live down the reproach that's brought on by their wife. As the way she walked and the way she talked and how she acted and what she done. You're a reflection on your husband. And therefore, your career is to marry, bear children, guide the house, and don't bring a reproach. I tell you, you ought to be able to walk anywhere, and some men don't care, but God help us. I mean, if my wife watched some women more, I tell you what, I would, as she walked in the door, I'd just want to go hide under something. Amen? Y'all get the point after a while. Now, I mean, you ought to care what your wife wears, because you ought to be able to walk in the midst and let everybody say, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, not ashamed of her because of who she is. She can bear reproach on you by the way she lives and the way she acts. And many men's lives have been a reproach brought on them because of the way she lives. She's to guide the house. She's to not give occasion for reproach. We're talking about the wife, the role. What is the role? Submit to her husband. Wives, submit to your husband. Be of service to the household. Number three, what's the Bible order of the wife? What's her Bible order? Well, number three is she's to be the star of the home. Y'all like that one, don't you? The star of the home. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's break that down in about three different things. All right. Star of the home. First of all, she's to be a mate to her companion. No preacher or brother or man can help me like my wife can. She may not always know that. You can tell me all you want to tell me, but I can preach a message and you could say it's a good message and you could brag all your blue in the face and it won't nothing do what two or three words out of her mouth would do. What I'm saying is she's to be a mate. She's a mate to her companion. And wives, you're to be, as the star of the home, you're a mate to your companion. She's my mate. She's my friend. She's my lover. She's my helpmeet. See, there's a difference in loving your wife and liking your wife. You say, what's the difference? Some people love their wives, but they don't want to be around them. They say they love them, but they don't want to be around them. But loving them and liking them. And ladies, you need to be such a mate that your husband will never want another mate. I'm talking about your life, that he'd never want another mate. I heard a story one time about a man who had a bunch of hogs. And I'm not comparing wives to hogs, all right? Just don't get that all down. But really the hog's part is the man's part anyway. Okay, it's opposite. Okay, that'll get me off the hook, Brother Gary. But the thing about it is, he had a bunch of hogs. And the boy kept noticing the neighbor had some hogs. Their fences on this boy's farm wasn't too good. But they never had any problem with their hogs getting out. The neighbor man built good fences, new fences, and their hogs always stayed out and wanted to come over to this man's farm. And one day the boy said, Dad, I won't ask the question. He said, how come that he's got better fences than we got, and yet his hogs gets out and ours don't get out? Ours stay around the house. He said, son, if you feed a hog good slop, He won't go off and stray off from another field. Now, Lord, help me. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm talking about an allegory that has nothing to do. Amen. I'm going to dig a ditch short of the world. But what you say, what are you trying to say? I'm talking about being a mate to your companion. You realize something. A satisfied husband don't go straying off somewhere else looking for another mate. I better move on. It's an allegory. That's all in the world it's got. Amen. Well, I better hush. Mother to your children. I'm talking about the fact of being the star in the home. Mate to your companion. A mother to your children. Nobody can do it to your children like Mama can. Amen. I mean, all night. Sean just couldn't handle Brandon out there the other night. He just, Mama, Mama, Mama. Even that time he fell down the bank. I mean, he'd come up to me because I was the closest one to him out there. But he had left to have Mama right then, you know. But Mama can just kiss the hurt away so good, can't you? You remember that? One time Laurie saw Andy. Well, I don't know how old it was. Wasn't Andy this? And Andy walked off and he'd fell and hurt himself or done something. He said, it don't work. But Mama can kiss the hurt away. Amen? I mean, it's just something about Mama's. Why? She's to be a mother to her children. And I'm talking about the fact star in the home. She's a good cook, or at least she needs to be. Now, it may take practice. I understand that as you go down through time, but she's a good cook. She's a good cleaner, and I'm not going to say needs to be. She should be in that, amen? I mean, cleaner of the house and cleaner of me. I mean, I have took many a spit bath going to church. Y'all know what that is? You kids today don't know what spit baths are. But I mean, you know, never. I mean, we didn't take good baths. You don't know the truth about it. It's just one every once in a while, and people don't believe that. Just can't hardly believe that. But I remember a lot of time, Mama would get that handkerchief and spit and wash behind my ears, wash in my ears. Amen? You never had that done to you? Miss Adair, did you do that to? I see there. I thought she did. She thinks that you didn't do it to her, but she's had a spit bath too. I mean, back in those days, that's what they did, and we still do it. Has anybody done it lately? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's what I'm saying. You're to be a good cleaner of the house and the family, keeping them clean. You're to need to be a good Christian. Should be a good Christian, teaching the right songs. Teaching the right Bible verses, teaching how to pray. It's a privilege for mamas to teach their children how to pray. And it's more than lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I wonder about that prayer anyway. Have you ever thought about that? Amen? Well, anyway, what I'm saying, it's more than just that little prayer. Teach your children how to pray. Mamas, don't let your kids grow up and not hear you pray. How many times we could say, well, I know my mom must have prayed for me. I never heard her pray for me. Mamas, let your children hear you pray for them. Let them hear you pray for them. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about letting it be something coming from your heart. You're to be the star in the home. You're to be the mother. And under that, mate to your companion, mother to your children, and a missionary to your own clan. Now, you say, what do you mean? Mamas, God gave you the ability to intercede a mama's heart. How many times have you heard somebody talk about how that his mama's prayer got to him? I think it was Oliver B. Green that most people have heard about, and a preacher that preached on the radio for years, but he talked about the fact of his mother. He'd go out, and I think, I may be wrong on this, but I think he was one, and get drunk and come in at night, and the old broom halls didn't have any insulation in them at all, and you could hear from one room to another all the way down the hall, and he'd come in, and he'd hear his mama cry out her heart on the bed, God save my wayward boy, get hold of him, and bring him to the end of himself, but he heard those things, and she interceded for him. That's the privilege you've got of interceding for your children. If you don't pray for them to be saved, nobody else is. Well, nobody else can do it like Mama can, is what I'm trying to say. Somebody else may be, but Mamas, you know what? You got children lost, and a lot of mamas don't even recognize it and won't even admit to that. And they won't even pray for the children. Won't even pray. You're to be a missionary to your own clan. Intercede for them. Don't let someone else teach them their first Bible verse. Thank God for Sunday school teachers who teach the kids the Bible verse. But you ought to be the one, Mama, to teach that child the first Bible verse. You ought to be the one to teach them the first song about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you do it yourself and you'll have victory. You say, what do you mean? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, about Timothy, it said in that, from a child, thou hast known thy holy scriptures, which are
able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And in the first part of that book, it talks about his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, who took him and put Scripture in him, instilled in him faith, and no doubt interceded for him. And Timothy was saved and had great victory. So mamas, you're to be a mother to your children, a missionary to your clan, and a mate to your companion. And in that sense, doing that, you're a star of the home. You say, can you see holiness? Sure can. I'm not talking about holiness as far as the religion holiness. Listen, Baptist folk had they were holy and a long time before somebody said, Johnny, come lately, come along. You see, the Pentecostal movement didn't start till the early 1900s, and the holiest movement, before that time, it wasn't even involved. You go back and search it out. The tongues movement, 1900s, I mean, before that time, wasn't even involved in America today. But yet, you realize something, a lot of the older ladies, if you please, and today you hesitate to even call some of them ladies, amen, that walk down the street. And as a result, a lot of the older ladies, it's just something about those older saintly ladies who are dressed right and walk right and just look at them. There's something about holiness about them, amen. I'm not talking about the way they wear their hair in a bun because of some denomination. I'm talking about the fact it's just a lady. There's something about a lady that draws attention to the lady, not to lust, but just simply to respect her and reverence her, especially with those older ladies. Now, how does a woman display holiness? How is she a symbol of holiness? Well, number one, by her dress. By her dress. It should be modest. A modest dress. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10, it says this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he says this. In like manner also, and that's talking about the men in verse number 8, but it said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or golds or pearls or costly array. Now, that's not saying you can't wear gold or you can't braid your hair or you can't put on a costly pearl, but he said, don't let that be what draws attention to you. In other words, he said, let it be, dress yourself in modest apparel, verse 10 said, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. In other words, holiness is what he's talking about. And so as a result, you see, he's saying you need to have something modest on. Because with shamefacedness means that if you put on something immodest anywhere, that you'd cause you to blush on the outside because there's someone on the inside. And you realize something here as far as this dressing. You can wear a dress and it not be look holy, even though it may be a long dress, if it's not holy, amen? I'm telling you, sometimes they wear a dress and they got a split way up to Beersheba, amen? All the way from Dan to Beersheba. And draw attention, and it's not holy this about it. Am I right? I'm talking that long. But it's sensual, it's sexual, it's devilish is what it is. It's not holiness. Even you say it's a dress. Well, I'm talking about what God says. He said modest apparel. Not something to cause somebody to look at your thighs. Amen. Not something too short, but something that's holy. A holy dress. You say, what is a holy dress? What does it mean to dress holy? It means to dress in anything that reveals Him and not you. You hear that? I'm talking about reveals Him. The dress ought to add to your testimony. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 2 and 3, he said it this way, who's adorning? Or while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, talking about their husbands. Now he talks about the wives. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on the apparel. So you see, there's more to it than just the outside. Outside, there's an inside involved. You realize something that ought to add to your testimony and not take away from it. I tell you what, a lot of ladies today ought to realize that they don't need to try to keep up with a style like their daughters are trying to keep up with a style. And I'm not so sure that their daughters ought to be keeping up with some of the styles, amen? But a lot of times the older ladies think, well, I'll just try to look like my teenage daughter. Well, I've got news for you. It's not too holy when you try to do that a lot of times because the style you've got is not a holy dress, if you please. So, symbol of holiness is dressing outside but also inside. Matthew 23:26, as Jesus told the Pharisees, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Now, inside he's talking about having the right kind of attitude that comes out. An attitude, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 40, he said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. in that which is not of corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God the great price. Meek and a quiet spirit, meaning attitude coming out from the inside, letting know that you're a symbol of holiness by your dress, not just outside, but the way you're dressing inside, by being really what you are. If you're His, if you're saved, the Bible said you're holy. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He said, without holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. Being holy means set apart. It means the set apart work of the Holy Spirit's been done on you, and they're called sanctification of the Spirit, setting of you apart from the kingdom of darkness and the devil's control, and bringing you into the kingdom of light under God's control. And it'll cause you to dress in such a way outwardly and inwardly with a quiet and a meek spirit that causes others to look and say, that woman is a symbol of holiness. A holiness by her dress. Now also you need to dress, be a symbol of holiness, not only by your dress, but in your discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11 and 12, he continues on there, not only about the dress, but he said in verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor you suffer authority over the man, but to be in silence. God never called a woman to preach. You say, I know a woman preacher. You know a woman that calls herself a preacher, but God doesn't call her a preacher. God doesn't call her to preach. In fact, God don't have women to teach a mixed classes, other than teenage kids, and be better to have teenage boys even taught by men. Amen? Right? You understand what I'm saying? Because he said, let them learn in silence. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't sing. That doesn't mean that she can't testify. It doesn't mean that she can't, sing specials and that type thing. Some places they think that they're not supposed to testify or give any kind of a testimony. That's not what it's talking about. It's just talking about that she, she is in her discipline. She's disciplined to the place to where she respects that and wants to be what God wants her to be. You realize something? If you don't respect discipline, your children won't respect discipline. This tells us why we're in such a mess we're in. Amen? Women, he said, wives, he said, he's talking about being a symbol of holiness by your dress, in your discipline. Number three, in your deeds. Titus chapter 2, verse number 4 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. He says this. He said that they may teach, talking about the aged women in verse 3, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. In other words, it's saying you don't really know how to love your husband. Older women, you need to teach them how. Not talking about sex, it's talking about genuine love, reaching out to them. He said to love their children, saying they don't even know how to do that. He said to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, keepers at home, keepers at home. You say, is that in there three times? No, I'm just trying to make a point. Amen. That's why we're in such a mess today. You see, we farm out the kids to TV and now babysitters and go to work to try to have more that God maybe never intended us for to have, and we let the children suffer from that. I'm convinced a lot of children have a lot of disorders and things in their life because they carry them off to some daycare center and never had mama's touch and mama's love. And the reason a lot of the boys wind up to be homosexuality, you want me to tell you, is because they sit out on denim blue jeans on mama, reach up and try to fondle a hair that they can't hardly fine because it's too short, and then they're rough, calloused hands from working in the factory, not in the farm and out in the field, and as a result they've never had the attention of a woman that they really have, and it's only masculinity, and they turn to the masculine side. Well, thank you, I didn't have to have no amen on that, but I'm convinced that that's part of the reason a lot of them turn out to be homosexuals. Amen. I'm talking about the fact in our discipline, with our lives. He said you need to be a symbol of holiness in your discipline and in your deeds. He said, keepers at home. That's what we're talking about there, being keepers at home. And he also goes on to say to be obedient to their own husbands. There's the submission that the word of God be not blasphemed. He's saying the word of God's blasphemed when you're not in the place that you need to be. So you need to be a symbol of holiness in your deeds, in your discipline, and by your dress, and also in your devotion. Number four, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, we find that God said, if you've got a husband that's not really saved, and he said you can win him over if you'll be a symbol of holiness in your devotion. Likewise, verse 1 says of 1 Peter 3, your wives be in subjections to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the manner of their wives, meaning the way they live of their wives, being a symbol of holiness in their devotions. It means that some men will not listen to preaching at the church, and they won't listen to anything. How many have you heard say, well, I don't want anything to do with church because I know so-and-so and I know how they live? A lot of people, a lot of husbands not going to get saved, and a lot of wives not going to get saved because of the way their so-called Christian husband or wife lives at home. They know them. They know what they're like. And they say, hey, there's no real Christianity in that. I don't want that. But he's saying, the wife, you can be a symbol of holiness in your devotion, and cause that man who won't listen to preaching, that you live in such a way that that man may be reached and can be reached. You see, it means devotion, of course, to the Lord and devotion to the husband, and that'll break that old hard heart of that lost husband. She's devoted. I'm not talking about doing something immoral, something outside of the realm of God's Word. Just simply loving Him where He's at and staying with Him for God's glory. He said He can be won over if you'll be a symbol of holiness. Now, I know this is not a lot, but we're not done yet. We're going to get on down to the opportunity of the home. We're going to get to the obligation of the home. And we're going to deal with the men's responsibility as the head and the wives' responsibility and what they have in those areas that we'll have to deal with. But don't mark it all off. Put it all together. I'm telling you what God said. This is Bible order. And if we're not in Bible order, we cannot and should not call our home Christian. Amen? Amen? I got a nod or two. Okay. I'm just trying to help us. I'm not trying to be mean. I just feel like that's where I need to be tonight. Amen? And we need that in our homes. Somebody said, well, I wish you'd preach on something else. That may be because you've got a problem in your home. Amen? Hit dog usually barks. So they had an old pen full of dogs, and I throw a rock into the pen. You know which one hollered? Sure, one I'd hit the rock hit. Amen? Sometimes you go out the door, and I can tell by the way you're talking. You've been hit. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you don't make no bones about it. You tell me you've been hit. Amen. That's all. I'd rather have it do you that way. But sometimes you're trying to divert off on something else and say, well, why don't you preach on this? Why don't you preach on that? Listen, I'm saying we need this. We need our Bible order. I needed this when I... And these young people need to see some older people say, hey, I want that in my home. I've had enough problems in homes that's been split and divorced and remarried and step-parents and this thing and that thing and talk to and fro. And it's not funny. It's not peaceful. And it's not right whenever a daddy is abusive and mama, or a mama that's abusive in some area. Those things are not in Bible order. God help us as daddies, and God help us as mamas. God help us as husbands, and God help us as wives to find the Bible order. And even though we're all, that's the same. Oh, God. Then you might find a little heaven in homes to the hell that you've got in the home. If we'll only get to the place we need to be in Bible order, or strive for that Bible order. Now, Bible order for the husband, Bible order for the wife. I'm going to deal with Bible order for the children tonight. Amen. You say, boy, that's 20 after 6. 20 after 6. Amen. 20 after 12. I date that. But this is going to be short because a lot of this will come up again. And the children part will come up in another area. But you see here, first, there's two things about Bible order for children. He said, first of all, obey. Verse number 1 of chapter 6, what did he say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, children, if you're saved, and you're not to obey something that violates God's Word. You're not to go out and commit adultery if your daddy tells you to do that. You're not to go out and rob a bank if he tells you to do that. You say, how can I get by that? He'll kill me. You'd be better off dead to stay with God than you would to go out and do it. Oh, that's hard. It's tough. I understand that. Because I know I didn't grow up in that, and I know some of you may have had that type of situation in a sense. But, yeah, what I'm saying is, he said, obey them. It's always right for children to obey their parents. And to be disobedient to parents is to be disobedient to the Lord. It's rebellion. Problem is, basically, it's not the children's problem. It's the parents' problem. Because, see, when we parent properly, do you get what I said? When we parent rightly, or we do what we're supposed to do as parents rightly, then most children would turn out right. I want to say this. Talk about a generation gap today. I mean, they've had for years. Y'all have heard them talk about generation gap. Boy, there's a generation gap. Yeah, but I tell you what, my dad could span that generation gap in just a moment with a belt.
or peace treaty. That's what we called it. If that old tree was still there, they probably pushed it up. That peace tree, I ought to go back and apologize to that thing. Because Daddy pulled too many limbs off of it. That poor thing never did get to bear the pieces it ought to bore. You understand what I'm saying? He could span the generation gap. But today, people don't know about that. Well, my children, I don't want them having parties. I had it. And we're raising a bunch of Yahoos today. Because. And you know who's going to hurt? They are. But whose fault is it? It's not really theirs. It's ours. Because we hadn't parented right. We really didn't parent right, you see. Now, we're going to deal more with this later. It's never right with God if you're wrong with dad and mom, children. You listening? You're never right with God if you're wrong with dad and mom. Number one, what's the Bible order for children? Number one, to obey. Number two, to honor. Verse number two, he said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, you realize this verse is not the same as verse number one. Somebody said they look a lot the same to me because to disobey is to dishonor. That's true. But he says to obey, and then he says to honor. You see, verse number one deals with children at home under the eating, as they used to say, as long as your feet under my table, you're going to do what I say. Amen. And y'all heard that? heard that, right? Come on, y'all stay with me, because I know you've heard that. And so as a result, you said, I got to obey. That's right. Now, number two, verse number two, you realize, deals with married children, those who've gotten outside of the household, out from under the domain of father and mom as far as the house is concerned. He says to honor. That's your responsibility. You see, you'll graduate from verse one if you leave and cleave. But you'll never graduate from verse number two. You see, if you dishonor parents, you're a dishonor to God. And if parents are not saved and are not living right, and you don't have to follow in the paths of sin, but it's still right to honor your parents. Even if they're ungodly as all get out, you're still right to honor them. You say, how could that be? Listen, your mama went to death's door giving you a body. And your daddy gave you his name. I don't care if a lot of them change it today, but your daddy gave you name. Honor that. Honor that, he said. You see, you realize something. Don't dishonor them in whatever you do. If you want to die young, you know what you can do to die young? Dishonor your parents. You say, hey, what do you mean? Verse 3 says of Ephesians 6, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He said, this is a commandment with promise. Verse number 2. That's the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, that's a commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and you live long upon the earth. So if you want to die young, dishonor mom and dad. And it makes no difference if they're already gone on. And on the other side, you still need to honor them. You still need to honor them because God said to do that. What's the order of the children? To obey while in the home and to honor them. And sometimes disobedience even then is dishonor, right? If as long as it's in God's Word. But, let me say, not all people who die young dishonor their parents. I'll say that. But, we need to obey and we need to honor our moms and our dads, our parents, because that's Bible order. So the Bible order in the home is husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands, and children, obey and honor your father and your mother. Now, as head, we've got a lot of responsibility, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that sometime. I don't know exactly when, but moms and dads, we've got a lot of responsibility to our children. Husbands, we've got a responsibility to our wives. You see, Christ has a responsibility to us, but you know what? He's met it all. God had a responsibility to Christ as His head, and He met that. He met that responsibility, all His obligations. But we're failing. I'm not talking to you. When I say we, I can say I'm failing. I've not arrived yet. My children's hurt for it. My family's hurt for it, in a sense. Many times because of my lack of understanding and my upbringing and those type of things. So when I'm preaching to you, I'm not just trying to point you out. I'm saying, God help us to find Bible order in our homes as husbands, as wives, and as children, so that we might have a home that God could get glory in, that He'd be honored in. And we could call it Christian because it would be in Bible order. Father, help us today. I don't even know how to pray. Oh, dear God, I'm not trying to hurt, not trying to harm, not trying to be mean, just simply trying to be truthful and to tell it like it is today, that you might get glory. Help us to have homes that's in Bible order, all for your honor and your glory. Lord, help me as a husband to meet my obligation, love my wife as I should, as you love the church, and gave yourself for it. Help our wives to submit unto us as unto the Lord. And they can do that, and we'll do that if we'll submit unto the Lordship ourselves. Lord, I pray for our children that they'll honor and they'll obey. But help us to meet our responsibility and parent rightly. I'm talking about operate and meet the Bible order concerning parenting. And Lord, we'll thank you. Help us tonight. And bless in accordance to thy will, for your honor and glory, but for our sakes. In Jesus' name we pray.